Well, Nick's got 70 Wallaby caps, and now he's on the commentary team with our very own Matthew Burke, and he'll be calling this game on the weekend. We look forward to it. It's up against Uruguay. I think they're getting 50 points head start, but we just need to win and try and settle on our halves combination. Nick joins us on the line. G'day, Nick.
G'day, Wes. How you going?
Yeah, really well, mate. 13 changes for this side.
Yeah, it is. You know, there's another chop and change in the half. So I think it was always planned to give a few people a rest this game. You know, two massive games in a row leading into a Uruguay and then a Georgia game next week. So it's a good opportunity to give a few blokes a little rest. But it's also a great opportunity to give blokes that haven't actually had a chance yet to play some good footy.
Yeah, Nick, we're a little bit confused on this program. We speak about the Wallabies quite a bit, and we just can't get in our heads how 4 years out from a grand final, we're still unsure of what our best halves combination is. What's your thoughts on who our best combination is? And do you think by being unsettled, that has been contributing to the way our performance has been going?
Yeah, I think ultimately, you know, if you're in the team, you'd like to say, oh, you know, we have the ability to chop and change for different oppositions, and we've got, you know, the skills to be able to adapt to that. But I think they're still a little bit unsettled because no one's really taken it with both hands, I guess. You know, there was definitely that great game they had against New Zealand a couple of months ago in Perth, where everyone was like, white and left, fine, I'll be locked in. You know, they're done, they're the half. But then sort of there's been a few tough games on the road, and they decided to give Will Gennie and Burns Foley a go, and, you know, in the tough cauldron last weekend. But there's always going to be a big ask for those two just to slot straight in and take the reins. So, you know, they didn't perform as well as they probably could have or have in the past, and now it's just leaving a lot of uncertainty in the half combinations. But you'd think surely they need to start to set this again, which is Chek's big way. He likes to sort of back his team once he's picked it and really duck them all the way to the final. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, the boys will have to do a really good job tomorrow night, and then, you know, it'll be interesting to see whether they change against Georgia or just try and get the momentum flying through to the final.
Yeah, Nick, I mean, obviously you've got a much keener rugby eye than I. Michael Checker, you know, we trust knows what he's doing, but there's a big difference. This is our third game, our third different set of halves again, and there's a big difference between playing in the halves, as you would know, mate, against Fiji and Uruguay than against Wales. So, you know, just give us your number. If we get to the final, who's your best 9 and 10?
Oh, it's funny as well. Like I said, you want to be building that momentum. So, you know, you look at the half combination they have now of White and Leofano, and think that they'd be sort of looking to that as their set half combination. You know, Dermot Foley, you can't, he obviously had a disappointing game last weekend, and he'll be filthy about that, but you can't discount the ability he's got and the runs he's got on the board. You know, Christian's probably got it over just at the moment, and Nick White's been playing fantastic footy, so I'll probably go Whitey, Leofano with Dermot Foley on the bench for the final.
Well, why wouldn't you play your best two halves against Wales, which is the game? That was your grand final as far as the group was concerned.
Yeah, I know. You would have thought that would be the best combination, but I think in their eyes that was the best combination.
Oh, okay. Okay. That lasted a long time.
One game. But I know. But in saying that, you know, the game before, Nick and Christian didn't play that. Or, you know, they beat CG, but, you know, the combination was a little bit clunky, a little bit nervous, I think, for their first World Cup. And I think, you know, that forced the selectors' hands for the Wales game, and now I think it's just been forced again.
TK and I are split on the Hooper-Pocock combination. I don't think it works when they're both starting together. I think one should come off the interchange bench. He believes that you've got to have your best players on the field. What would you do if you were in charge?
Oh, geez, I've got the keys. How good. well, I would have said a month ago, you can't leave one of them out. You know, I would have been, they're two of the best players in the world. You just literally can't leave one of them out. I think they're needed on there. And when they're on fire together, they're just so damaging around the park, it's impossible not to have them. But I think over the first sort of two games and a lot of the other games in the World Cup, you're seeing the referees not pay a lot of the breakdown penalties that they usually do,
yep.
which has been infuriated because, they're getting out of the ball. They're doing exactly what they were in the rugby championship in the years leading up to it. But now all of a sudden, they're not getting paid those penalties or paid those pressures for the plays, which they're so good at, which is a little bit of food for thought because, if you do have both there, everyone says that you lose a line-out option, you lose a ball-running option. And it's a lot of food for thought thinking, you almost need to maybe think about having two big damaging ball running back rowers and then just one fetcher if the penalties aren't going to keep getting paid.
We're pretty simple here, mate. Well, I'm pretty simple. All I want to know, will we win by more than 51.5? Because that's the start.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Definitely, yeah. I think the boys will be singing after that loss and they'll come out and play really well.
Okay, so...
from what you've seen so far, Nick, is New Zealand still the side to beat?
Yeah, I think so. They're hitting the form in the right time, as usual. A lot of people sort of riding them off through the rugby championship, and that's what they've done every World Cup. They chop and change their team around, find the absolute best combination. Then when it comes to the World Cup, they raise it a different level. I don't think anyone else has really stood up as much as they could. I think, Wales are going to be very dangerous. Ireland had that stumble against Japan, but can't be written off. And South Africa are just bubbling along in their pool as well, just under New Zealand. So I'm really looking forward to the quarterfinals. There's going to be so many big games that are being played. And it'll be really interesting to see who's in there at the end.
All right. So you're sticking with New Zealand to win at $2.10, the overall World Cup, and you reckon we'll cover the 51.5, and hopefully we'll just settle on a halves combination as well. Good on you, Nick.
Cheers, guys. Thanks very much for having me.